Gearing up for the big game? We are too. Join us on the Moth Podcast for a special episode dedicated to hilarious true stories about football, family, and growing up.
I loved Franco Harris so much that in 1975, I invited him to my bar mitzvah. And he was so cool that he actually sent me a telegram.
Each week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, and above all, true. Find the Moth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There are just some people that I cannot get enough of their perspective. Like, I could listen to them talk all day. And one of those people is Lambert Fisher, which is why I subscribe to his podcast, The Diversity Dude. Every single week, Lambert gives us his perspective about what is going on in the world of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And there has been a lot. Okay. And so he put out a podcast recently, and I tell you, the comment section is buzzing. The likes and thumbs up are buzzing and blinking, and the thumbs down too. I'm not sure how he managed to get as many people excited as he got upset, but he did that. And so I thought, you know what? There is so much going on in this world right now with regard to diversity at colleges and universities. Walmart just rolled back their DEI practices. Black shoppers are boycotting. They're trying to change up their commercial programming so that they have more people of color and name facial and name folks who are recognized by Black people to try to get Black folks back in the stores. It's a lot. It is a lot. And Lambert Fisher has been navigating the news and giving us his perspective and educating and enlightening us for more than a year now. And I'm so glad that he is back on the show, joining us courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Now, Lambert, for anybody who did not already listen, you got to give us a scoop on this latest podcast that's got everybody buzzing.
Well, thanks for that. I appreciate it. And it has been a really healthy conversation. And it's a necessary one because there are a lot of things at stake that impact a lot of people as it relates to diversity, equity, inclusion. And a lot of it is fear-based, and people are trying to protect themselves and everybody else. And hopefully we can have a healthier conversation that makes some positive change.
Now, what was the title of the show? Because you've been doing the Diversity Dude for a while. You have thousands of listeners. Folks love the show. They share it. They hire you to come in and do diversity, equity, and inclusion workshops and seminars for their employees and their teachers at colleges and universities. And so you've got a lot of people, and folks always listen. But this week was a little bit something different. Tell us the title of the show so folks can find it easily, and what it's all about.
So the title of this particular episode of the Diversity Dude podcast was The Unnecessary Ban of DEI. And it's in response to whether it be Walmart rolling back DEI practices or even things related to all the way up with plans to ban DEI practices, positions, things like that, and people are getting scared. Not only for people getting afraid of what their job titles might be, but practically speaking, the effort to help bring appreciation, cultural awareness, and value to people of a variety of different cultural backgrounds is getting threatened if you can't talk about it. You can't have positions. You can't have initiatives. People are going to be losing grant funding for certain programs. It's getting everybody scared. And the question is, what do we do about it? A lot of times people assume that the main thing is people are racist, sexist, ageist. Everything is cynicism, and they're actively fighting against the value of people who are not like them. Unfortunately, there are some of those people out there. You can't deny that. They won't deny that. They'll be front and center shouting to the rooftops about it. However, a lot of times the idea is, again, the negative, polarizing, shaming and judging messages out there that says, hey, just because you're of a certain ethnic background, you are at fault for everything that's happening. And they actively want to ban that. They want to stop that. Except the only problem is that's unnecessary. That's not what every DEI training is about. If they want to ban all the trainings that do all the polarizing, I get what they're coming from. Who wants to voluntarily be mandated to stand in front of a firing squad? Nobody wants that to happen except What about the programs that actually encourage healthy diversity awareness, healthy cultural competence, valuing everyone for their cultural background, not just some, valuing everybody for their ethnicity, their race, not because that is the only thing that matters, but because it also matters. How can we help embrace appreciating every aspect of all of us, not talking about it at all? Because even if you ban the programs, diversity still exists. All you did was made it unsafe to talk about, which perpetuates the problem, and then we all lose because we can't appreciate the variety that makes us all better.
How can we appreciate that variety when we are always at each other's throats? Lambers, you know as well as I do, right now in this country, there's no middle ground. It's either one side or the other. How do we even begin to start coming together when everything is so polarizing right now?
Yeah, everything tends to be polarizing because the understanding is, the main message is, one person has to win. In order for one side to have to win, the other side has to lose. If we can only get one of our values heard, it's going to be me. And everybody is vying for that same value. Except if we change the narrative and say, how can we recognize that diversity helps everybody feel heard? Everybody feel understood. Everybody feel welcome. That changes the conversation. How do we start that conversation? Well, you have to play into that. You feel like you're going to lose mindset, business-wise, individually-wise, leadership-wise. Help people realize that diversity actually enhances the business model. Diversity actually enhances leadership models. You want to get more productivity on your team? Appreciating diversity helps you get what you want. Make it personalized. Make it person-centered, such as, like, if you ban this, you're going to lose more than you think you're going to gain by banning it. You're going to lose some quality representation on your team. You're going to lose some creativity. You're going to lose some perspective. You're going to lose a lot of customers. If you realize that by banning it, in order to protect yourself, you're going to lose more than you gain. That can at least be a starting point. And then we can show in action how we can do so in the health. Because if they're saying, if my choice is I have to either be negative and polarizing or protect my business, people are going to protect themselves. When you realize that by appreciating adversity, you actually help them get more of what they want in a way that they haven't experienced before, changes the conversation.
All right. Now, here's the thing. When people start to look at compromising, folks think, oh, well, I lost. How do you get the I lost mentality out of the conversation? Because nobody wants to lose. People don't mind. I don't think people mind compromising necessarily, but folks don't want to lose. How do we get to the point where we don't want to look like we are losing? Because that's where it is. You know, when you even start to look like you might be thinking about compromising. Oh, you're giving in. Oh, you lost. Oh, you're going to let them have their way. Oh, you're going to let them do what it is they want to do. Well, you know, what about what you want? What about what you thought? And so, you know, folks are just digging their heels in.
Indeed. Indeed, a lot of this goes back to other scenarios where we can also see this, where if you go back to the Olympics, having won, try to get gold and then get silver and then get bronze, there's a hierarchy, there's a ranking, and we all promote it, we all shoot for it, and we encourage and celebrate the winners. But then there's those situations where on certain sports they can actually tie, or they can try to compete and then go further. When you have somebody actually, two people can be competing for the top spot and they agree to tie, some people cheer and say, great sportsmanship, and other people say, you gave up. You could have won. We need to promote some of that tie. We need to promote some of that. We can both win. We can both get the medal. We can both achieve. And it starts at the top. We have to try to find a way to say that compromise isn't necessarily settling. Compromise can be a win-win more so than a win-lose. But in order to do that, we have to get a lot better at showing how we win. Not just the word win. Not just say, well, if you really think about it, you kind of didn't lose as much. No, if we sell how we win, if we get better at showing the results, our productivity. If you show a leader of a corporation, you get more money when you appreciate diversity. You get more customers. You keep more retention of the employees, of the best leaders on your team. If you show them the numbers, if you show them the results, if you show them the customer surveys, whatever trackable way you have to show it, there are ways to show. You may feel like you're losing because it's not in the way that you thought it would look, but the way that was that it really was a lot better than you expected, then it changes how things are done. And people say, oh, wait, that team is happier. That team is healthier. That team is more productive. They're getting more results. Maybe we should consider doing something different. Maybe it's not as much of a settling as I thought. But it will take more results than just words. But we have to take the initiative to get it that way.
All right, we got to take a quick commercial break. But Lambs, when we come back, I want you to tell me how it is that you did this podcast and you have just as many people who didn't like it as people who did. Usually you got an overwhelming number of people or something who like something, or you got an overwhelming number of people who don't like something. Somehow you got it split down the middle. What was Lambs Fisher talking about in this podcast? It's got everybody so in an uproar one way or the other. We'll continue our conversation with him when we come back. It is 12:50. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. Continuing our conversation with Lambs Fisher on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Lambs, thank you so much for joining us. I know you have been all over the place, national as well as local news, with the bans on DEI, especially after your podcast. One of our most popular on ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com, the Diversity Dude podcast. This latest episode is called The Unnecessary Ban on DEI. It's got everybody talking, everybody sharing, everybody commenting on it. It's probably about 2 minutes away from going viral because it is such a hot topic right now that even my new producer, Lindsay, and I were talking during the commercial break. And, you know, she said something, Lambs, that I got to interrupt our intended conversation and ask, how do you address that scarcity mentality? Where if, you know, if you get it, then it must be taking something away from me. I tell people all the time, white men that I encounter, listen, if somebody's hiring me, they're hiring a black woman. You are not a black woman. My money is not your money. When they looking for a white man, they coming to get you. That's not my money. I don't need your money. My money belongs to me. This is my lane. This is where I live. You don't have to worry about me. I'm not taking white man's money. I get black woman's money.
So one of the things I talk about in my Diversity Made Simple trainings is the whole concept is trying to have a positive and encouraging perspective as opposed to the polarizing and punitive one. And one of the times this comes up is that conversation about privilege and wage gap as an example. And people say, well, I don't have the same privilege or I don't have any kind of privilege just because of my ethnicity or gender or things like that. I have to work for a living just as much as anybody else. And so this idea is that you can have the wage gap broken down by one clear example. There's a lot more details to it, but the idea is, let's say you have a finite amount of money in the company, and men get paid more than women. They're not necessarily trying to, not necessarily how it was designed per se, but that's how it turns out to be. The wage gap, men get paid more than women. The idea is that if the man says, well, yeah, I may feel bad for you a little bit, but in order for you to get paid more, that means I need to get paid less. And see, I didn't do anything wrong. I shouldn't have to lose what I have in order to help you. So while I plead for your cause, I can't support that cause. I can't support that wage equality, anything on the DEI spectrum, because if I support that means I'm losing what I have, except there's a catch. Sure, one option is, in order for you to get paid more, I need to get paid less. But what about option B? What about, in order for you to get paid more, we find new ways, new initiatives to get more money in the company, and that money is earmarked to bridging the unnecessary gap in our pay. I don't lose a single dime in order for you to get the same money that you're worth for all the work that you do, just as good, if not better than mine, and that way I don't lose. You to have to win. The only thing I lose is the lead over you that was never earned in the first place. And if my goal is to maintain a lead that was not earned, then I lose my argument altogether. But that's the idea. There's a scarcity mindset that is rampant, that in order for me to support you, I have to lose something, and it's not necessarily the case. And the more ways we can promote, we can all win, we can all eat, we can all benefit, then that can have a healthier benefit long term.
All right. My phone is blowing up. Folks want to know how they can get in touch with you. Let's talk about that before we go on to the next thing. We've got a few more minutes. I've got a couple of teachers and a superintendent who want to know how they can get you to their school and in their classrooms. I know you were just in South Washington County after the substitute teacher put his knee on the neck of a student in a classroom, and those pictures went viral, and that became a national story. South Washington County Schools reached out to Lambers to come and do a training for their school social workers and counselors, as well as their county social workers, so that they can address the trauma that these students experienced in a classroom, witnessing that, and then some of the students who saw it online, and then how the schools can react to that. And so, Lambers, I just heard so many positive things, because this is a district where I live, from the educators who were in that training. But, you know, I just need to know, folks need to know how they can reach you, because they want some more of that in their schools, in their classrooms, and in their workplaces.
Absolutely. It's a great opportunity to get a chance to speak to leaders in various different fields, helping create culturally safe environments, not just for those who they serve, the students, the customers, whatever the case may be, but also for the leaders themselves to interact healthily. And anybody who is interested in doing that, I'm happy to help out and help provide the language, let alone the trainings and the strategies for how to do that. People can reach out to me in two different ways. One, my name, LambersFisher.com. But unless you know what a Lambers is, that might be hard to remember. So you can also reach me at DiversityMadeSimple.com, and trying to make it simple, trying to make it positive. DiversityMadeSimple.com, you can find out about my book that gives a lot of these strategies. Find out about my training online or live, whatever the case may be. I try to make it as accessible as possible so that we can all benefit from it and start making it safe to talk about these things, because the more we talk about it in a healthy way, the more ideas we can all come up with to make everybody feel culturally safe, seeing not just a small group of people, not just those people complaining about it, but that we can all feel culturally seen, valued for our similarities and our differences.
And I just appreciate you so much for being on this show, for taking the time to explain it, for giving us basically trainings through your podcast that are absolutely free. We should be paying you for what you are teaching us through the Diversity Dude podcast. And folks can find that anywhere they get their podcasts, Apple, Spotify. There's also video on YouTube. If you look up Lambers, you'll find it there. And the latest episode is the Unnecessary Ban on DEI. Lambers Fisher, thank you for joining us on the Shaletta Show.
My pleasure. Thank you, Shaletta.
And you have a great weekend and happy holidays to you, sir. Now, listen, y'all don't go anywhere. I am live at We Rock the Spectrum in Woodbury, an indoor playground for kids with autism. It is absolutely free today. They've got lunch. They've got clowns. You can come by, say hi to me. My kids are here. They would love to meet you, and I would love to see your kids. So come on down, hang out with us at We Rock the Spectrum in Woodbury, and hang out with us on the radio, because we got two more hours of the Shaletta Show coming up.